Okay, so the pasuk in the beginning of the Nitzavim talks about that the Torah is giving this warning, concerned about the possibility that there's somebody who is inside of his heart, he's veering away from the commitment to Torah mitzvahs, and he says to himself, "He's borech b'lovay le'mor shalom yihili, that I'm not worried about that anything bad happening to me, because I will go in my shrius libi." So the question is, what does this word shrius mean? So the Ramban says, "Hatavo hagaberus umischazakas b'leib tikra shrius." When a person is following his desires, shrius libi would be the desires of his heart. The act of following taiva when it's becoming very powerful and very strong, very defining of what his actions are, that's called shrius. Kloshen chomim. Shirira Kayom, we use the language at the end of a shtar. We say that it's Shirira Kayom, which means it's very strongly accepted as fact. Okay, and Bishirira Bitnoi, fine. Upirish. So now, the Pasuk says that the Pasuk continues that. Let's probably we should see a language of a Chumash. Would be helpful. Very helpful. Since this is part of the Kriya for Monday and Thursday. So the Torah writes, "Penyesh b'chem isha isha, amishpacha ashevet asher levavoy, penah yom im Hashem alakim." Maybe there's some man or woman, family, or a whole shevet, which is veering away from being with Hashem, which he wants to go to serve the Avodah Zorah. Maybe there's a root which is producing wormwood. It's producing weeds. When he hears this claw that we're giving, Shlomi Yeli. And he will give himself his own blessing. He'll say, he'll tell himself that everything is fine, because I will have peace. Keep shiras libi leich, I can go my own way. So the end of the pasuk says, in order that sois harava es hatzmiyah. So it's very not clear what that means. So Ramban is going to continue explain this phrase, leman sois harava es hatzmiyah. So you know the word rava, like you say kosi ravaya, my cup is overfilling. Tzmiyah means thirsty. So it means to add. It's a lashon of adding. So in order to add on the rava, the overflowing cup, to the tzmeya, to the thirsty cup. So that's what all the words mean. That's what, yeah, we have to say, what does the phrase mean? The Ramban is a fascinating idea. Pirush Ramban Sois HaRava Esat Tzmeya L'Hoisif HaTzmeya Imam Yisave. You're going to add on something which erstwhile you were satiated from, you were not desirable of, and now you're going to add that onto the things that you desire. Ki nefesh sveya tikra rava, when a person feels content, not running after desires, he's called rava. That's right, because I feel blessed, everything, I have everything I need. Okay, so that's the language of the Rava, means that the person feels full, feels satiated. The person is desiring something, he's thirsty. We use that, I'm thirsting for Hashem. Okay, tam. Now the word tam, when the Rishonim use the word tam, they don't mean reason. Actually, they mean the understanding or explanation. Tam. So now the understanding of the concept which we're talking about here is the following. Kinevesh Adam harava. There are things which a person is rava from. He sees he's not thirsty for. Sheinenu misar v'dvar haroyim lo. A person does not desire things which are bad for them. But kashetavoyel b'liba ksas taivo. A person starts developing desires. And he will fill those taivas. So then he will desire more. He will desire that item, which he's done, even more. Once he gets used to it, the more he has it, the more it's something which he feels a need to have. But furthermore, but something which he had no interest in before, as he expands his horizons, he becomes more involved in taiva, eventually he will start desiring things beyond his original scope. Things which were not silly, were not even good for him. Whereas before he had no interest in them, as he becomes interested in taiva X, he'll eventually add taiva Y as well. And he gives an example. As a person has desire for beautiful women, if eventually he allows himself to become sunken in that, or drown, means he's submerged in it, that's a good word, okay? Submerged into this, with that, eventually, he will then desire men or animals. This applies to other taivas as well. Chachamim said the following concept: so the correct attitude towards these issues is that you have to understand that the more that you are trying to masbiya the desire, you try to fulfill the desire, the more ro'ev, the more hungry you will be. But marivoy, if you do not fulfill the desire, you starve it, as it were, you'll feel severe, you will feel full. So a person who goes after the taiva, that's found in the pasuk. A person goes, like he said, the word tzria means a taiva gevuras mischazak, because he has a strong taiva, and he goes in that way. He will go after these strong desires, which those are semeya. By doing so, he will then add, svois means to add, harava esatzme, he will take the things which he, till now he had been rava from them, he had not been hungry for them, he had been, as it were, full, he has no desire for them, he's satiated. Yosef, sheitzmeyalem, Yosef nafsha harava imatzmeya, ki yisava yitzmele mashu, seveya mimenu, vashar hispia nafsha bai. So things which before now he felt no desire for, he will then develop a desire for. And that's how the Ramban understands the process of how these desires develop. So a person starts with desire X, and if he keeps indulging that, eventually he's going to apply it to other areas, to other things beyond that, the next step. So, commentary on our society. I don't think we need to elaborate too much more about, you know. I mean, the scary part about it is, you know, what the next step is behemoth. So I don't, you know, but the, you know, like, it. Right. And then the next step will be animal rights. That the animals should have a right to use the bathroom. I mean, you know, be careful with that. But then he says, this is true. He has to have a shara type, but this is true not only in the area of intimacy and these type of things, but it's true in any area of taiva. So like there's a different Ramban. The Ramban says, you know, there's people which have these crazy taivas that they, for food, that they eat things which are totally unhealthy for them. Like, he gives an example, they eat, like, you know, they eat charcoal, you know. Right? These people have a taiva for charcoal, eating charcoal. So it's like, where's the government? Eat dirt, you know. Right? So, nowadays, we don't have to really, you know, run that far. Like, you know, we have people which, they have things which are clearly unhealthy for them, and they know that it's unhealthy for them. You know, certain things, you know, certainly our mind is very good at playing games. It says, you know, it's not going to happen to me, you know. Yes, it says that people who eat, you know, high cholesterol, but I'm not going to get high cholesterol. High cholesterol is not going to happen. I'm not going to have heart attack because I'm not going to get a stroke because of it. You know, we're very comfortable at saying those type of things, right? But then there's the things which, you know, this individual, even he's aware of the fact that it's unhealthy for him. The doctor has, you know, clarified that he has potential issues, and still people can't control themselves. Like, that's the word. I can't control myself. So, who is it? Rabbi Yosef Yosel, the Alter from the Vardik, says, you know, he once witnessed the following scene. I think it was Alter from the Vardik. Where's Alter from Kelm? It was Alter from Kelm. Alter from Kelm once witnessed the following scene. He says he was walking by the marketplace. So, you know, these people have their push carts and they're competing with each other. So there's two women, like, screaming at each other for, you know, some supposed misdeed that one had done to the other, like she had, you know, stolen one of their cups, whatever it was that, you know, the argument was about. And they're yelling, obviously it's escalating, etc. And right then, a customer walks up to the pushcart of one of the women to buy some produce. She turns to the person and says, "Yes, can I help you?" And he said, "Like, how'd she do it?" Like, a minute before, she was like, red for rage, screaming at this other woman. She's livid, you know. And now she's like smiling and friendly and etc. Like, how did she do it? He says, apparently, if the motivation is enough, we can control ourselves and change what's going on. And now, now it's money. Right? Now, the issue until now was, you know, whatever, her covet, the issue is money. Well, the money can motivate her to change to the point that she can smile at the person, etc. So it's not we don't have self-control, because if the motivation is enough, we'll have self-control. If I tell the woman, listen, you know what, if you go over to the woman and say, "I apologize, and make I will give you $1 billion, she'd probably say, "Yeah, I can do that." Right? You know, it's the question of the motivation. So we have the ability to have self-control. But the point of the Ramban is, once we don't exercise self-control, it's a game changer. You end up going not to where you wanted to go. And he says this applies not only by the Nyanam of Zima, but applies to all areas of Taiva as well. Okay, I want to see a few things over here. There's a Sefer HaKinuch. I wrote in the first word because I wasn't going to copy the whole page for one word. So we have the mitzvah L'Sesur Akhar L'Bavchem Akhari Nechem. So Chazal say Akhar L'Bavchem is referring to Minus, it's referring to false ideologies of understanding the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the world, etc., incorrectly. And Akhar Nechem, Chazal say, is referring to Znus. So it means Shal Yirdav Adam Akhar Mar Einav. So at the top of the page, a person should not go after that which he sees. B'chal Zeh Shal Yirdav Akhar Taibas Elam Azeh. A person should not go after the desires of this world. K'achrisim Ra K'day B'zor M'kotzim. The final result is going to be bad. So again, he sees that the prohibition of znus expands into other areas as well. Sharish mitzvah is nikla. The understanding of this mitzvah is obvious. Next paragraph. This will protect you. It's a very important foundation of our religion. We have to understand that the thoughts are the obvious. V'maisim yodeim. The actions are only the results of the thoughts. V'myerim esodim terim yorlid ein zechel abonim. V'myzois amaniya sharish l'kolatoivis yoritzis v'mem. So, the av is without the av, there's not going to be any bonim. So don't think that, you know, the main problem is the bonim, because the real issue starts with the av. The av over here being these machshavas rows. So by controlling yourself, you're going to be much better off. Pam achas, if you decide to give in to your improper desires, even one time, timosh achareya kama pamim, it will bring you into it multiple times. In tiskal yes giber ba'aretz, and the opposite, you will control yourself. Lichem shitzucha, b'latzam enecha meros pirah. Pam achas, even if you control yourself one time, yalkam enecha lasus ken kama pamim, it will become easier. Mitzvah will become easier as it goes along. Ki atayv timshach abosu, kimshach yain al shayisav. The relationship which humans have with taiva is like the relationship that people who drink wine have with alcohol. People which are alcoholic will never say, you know, just one more drink and I'll be happy. You know, I'll never do it again. You know, that's not happens. It keeps going, going, and going, going. Okay, Abu Yisab, I love type of gadol. They have a tremendous desire for it. The more they do it, the more they need it. But if they would, one time when they have a desire for wine, they would drink water and control themselves, and they do that a few, you know, sometimes, it would become easier. The more they would exercise self control, the more each time it becomes subsequently easier. So that's true by that mushal, that's true in general when it comes to the world of taiva. A person who is allowing himself to regularly do taiva. Each time will get stronger. And each time you control yourself, you'll be able to be move away and exercise self control. Okay. So that's the concept behind the mitzvah. Now he learns that this is alive in the Torah, the Surah and the Vavchem. So he says the next two paragraphs down. Mishu tar acher einav, a person who is seeking after his eyes. Klamer shu roidev acher taivas oilam. Person is going after the desires of the world. Kegarden shu meisim li by tomid labas tanugim gedolim nafshay bli shechabim behem klal lechabonat taiva. He's constantly looking for pleasure, not for a good purpose. Klamer shal yasa kei shiyam and borim v'yuchal ishtadu b'avodas bara. He's not doing it because he wants to be healthy, or to be even to be happy. You know, to feel, you know, comfortable, but rather rak l'hashem l'hashem with him. He wants to enjoy the world. So a person does that every moment. He's being over this love of the Torah. That's how far he takes it. But again, he sees this idea like, you know what, the more you give in, the more it's going to expand. The Ramban takes it, it's even expand to new areas. He doesn't say that point, but he says, but he does see that this idea that you have to stand. The more you, giving in is a game changer. It just makes it worse. Okay. There's a fascinating piece here in Sharash Yishai. Let me leave that for a second. Go to page, whatever, I put the pages. It's a Sefer Avnei Zikaron. It's only towards the back of the packet. So he's talking about Tfilah Shem Neroyim. Civilly Yom Kippur. So he says, so before, it was on the bottom left. I didn't mark it off. It's on the bottom left of the page.
No,
the page before that. Yeah, go back one page. So the problem is, so what does it mean? All the various most areas are not done with Yetzer Hara. Right.
Yeah. I was reading this.
Ah. When the day came, unfortunately, so what chayda you do with the yitzhak? What you're saying? This is the case of the yitzhak. It's the yitzhak hara. Like what does it mean? I would like to explain this based on the Ramban. By giving into your taiva, indulging it, you'll eventually add on more areas which you, till now, you were not interested in. He brings the Ramban that we just saw. Okay. And he quotes the whole Ramban. That's the end of that paragraph. So the beginning of the next paragraph. So Yotz V'Divra Ramban. So what's the takeaway from the Ramban? A person indulges an aveira which he shouldn't do. What happens is by doing so and allowing himself to do that, he opens up a whole new world in front of him which he was not interested in before. So he created a yetzer hara for himself. We created Yetzirah for ourselves. We were chayted to you by creating Yetzirah, which you didn't have until now, by indulging Taiva X and thereby becoming challenged in Taiva Y. That's the one that's on the same shot. The Rishiva said a pshat, Rigipta said a pshat on this, on Al-Khech Al-Fanacha, totally different idea. Totally, you know, if I can say sweet about a word, it's just totally sweet word. He says like this, all right, the Rosh created the Yetzirah. Now, why do you create the Yetzirah? Because the Yetzirah to be a challenge for us. Right? But we're not supposed to give in to the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is supposed to be the challenge. We're supposed to overcome the Yetzirah. Now, Yetzirah is a Malach. Malach is Kaddish. So when you use the Yetzirah for the wrong purpose, you're being Moel Behekdish. You're misappropriating something holy for the wrong purpose. So the purpose of the Yetzirah was that we should be challenged by and overcome it. But you're being challenged by it and giving into it. So you're using the Yetzirah for the wrong reason. So that's Usur. That's Mila Behekdish. We misuse the Yetzirah. That's why he said pshat. It's a very sweet pshat. I'm not sure he meant that as seriously as pshat, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he didn't.
Well, it makes a lot of sense.
But it's a beautiful thought, right? You know, that
it gives us an opportunity.
You're saying, you know, what we're saying, the mushroom, we totally misused the desires, the challenges, etc., that you gave us. We use them for the wrong reason. The purpose was to force us to grow and to be challenged and to think and to learn self control. And instead, we just indulged them, and then we made, you know, so we totally got told the whole thing wrong. There's a fascinating, you know, back to the Alter's Nakuda. So the opposite of this indulging is self-control. So there's a mitzvah in the sixth parasha of Ubakarta B'chaim, which could have been the topic of the pack if I didn't do that. So what is the mitzvah of Ubakarta B'chaim? You're supposed to choose life. So simply understand, there's, you know, like the Pasuk says, there's Torah and there's Ra and there's Chaim and Mavis. So the Torah is the mitzvahs and Torah, and that's Chaim. So the mitzvah is, so basically it's a kol yitzchak mitzvah, choose Torah and mitzvah as opposed to averus. Okay, that's one way to understand it. There's actually a fascinating charedim. In the Tzvas, at the time of the Rizal and the Beis Yosef, the Shamash of the Shul wrote a sefer called the Charedim. Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim is basically for the people which are concerned about mitzvahs. Let's maybe make a list. He makes a list of all the mitzvahs, but he concludes the Rishis and the Rabbonins and, you know, everything. But he divides it up in an interesting division. He divides it up by parts of the body. All the mitzvahs and rare mitzvahs which you can do with your eyes. All the various you can do with your eyes. All the mitzvahs you can do with your ears. The various you can do with your ears. Right? All the mitzvahs you can do with your mind. You know, he goes through every single one of these things. So he basically goes through all the mitzvahs. So he talks about the mitzvah of Ubakarta B'chaim. See, he understands the mitzvah of Ubakarta B'chaim in a fascinating way. You know, there's a lacha, Safek Deraisa L'chumra. You have a Safek and there's an Issa Deraisa, so you have to be Machmer. So he says that's the mitzvah of Ubakarta B'chaim. You have potential. If I have poison in front of me, you know, and a person would choose, he's choosing death. If I have a possibility of poison, I wouldn't choose it either, because why would you want to possibly eat poison? So the Torah is saying, when it comes to mitzvahs, so the command tells you that you're mechir to do it when you know for sure it's an aveira. When I'm not sure what's the status, comes the Torah, b'chart b'chaim, you must choose a situation where it's doubtful, you must choose. It's doubtful, I'm not sure if it's an aveira mitzvah or not. Choose Chaim. That's how you understand Pshat. But that's not Pshat. I don't know if that's Pshat or not. What's the Bechat of Bechaim? So Ben Yerda seems that the Bechat of Bechaim is the mitzvah of Bechira, as I saw once, which translated means the mitzvah of the, he calls it the milas of Bechira. It's the mile of choosing. There's a mile of choosing. So he says, so what does that mean that there's a mile of choosing? There's a quality called self-control. There's a quality means we have ability to choose. A lot of times we have this incendiary types of language we use for ourselves. I can't control myself. So that was his point. Was you see, you could control yourself. The question is, but we keep saying I can't. I was on a diet, you know, never going to eat, you know, ever. Then they came out of the chocolate. I just couldn't control myself when I ate a piece of cake. Like that's the language that people use, right? I couldn't control myself, you know. Two lazy potato chips. Nobody can eat just one. Nobody can eat just one. You can't do it. Right? You know, so you hear it, I'm telling you, I can't do it, you know. Right? We need to create language that we can do it. And the more we bang in, so that's the mitzvah b'chart b'chaim. So that's the opposite of the Yetzer Hara. The Tichel of Anach of Yetzer Hara means, you know, we we've allowed ourselves to be under this shlita of this power which is overpowering us. So the Rishi was saying that the opposite of that is the mitzvah ubachar to b'chayim. The goal of the Torah is to create a choice, and then ubachar to b'chayim. On top, a little bit off topic on that, but you know, on that point. But obviously, you know, you have to create. If you want to do the mitzvah, you have to create a situation which allows you to have to choose properly. You know, you meet an opponent. Sometimes it's better to meet him in the open field as opposed to in inside of a house. You know, there's more area to, you know, you want to create the setting to be a setting which will allow you to be more effective in your choice. So I once heard a word from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is the, you know, ever hear speak? No, you've heard of him though, right? Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky was a Talmud of Novartik, actually, in Europe. He eventually became a mashgiach of many yeshivas in Eretz Israel. He was a tremendous Baal Musar, but he was also a tremendous maggid. He had a tremendous sense of humor. He could say things very well, etc. He's also very short, extremely short. You know, these people like custom made kapata. You know, like, you know, he was like four something. You know? So he used to say, you know, the door opens up and nobody walks in, you know, it's me. Like that, you know, I walked in, you know. So Rabbi Galinsky once said, sometimes said over the following. He says he has to catch the Gemara. The Gemara says in Kedushin, you meet the Menubal, the Yetzirah, bring him to the Beis Medrash, schlep him to the Beis Medrash. He says, I have a better idea, leave him outside. Why schlep him to the Beis Medrash? Leave him outside. Why are you schlepping him inside? So he says like this. So he said over a story, there was a rav in the city Lodz in Poland. Rabbi Yochai Meisel. So Rabbi Yochai Meisel was known, he was quick-witted to the nth degree, he had tremendous love for every yid, and he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was the Rabbi of the city, and he, you know, accomplished many, many things, you know. So there was a story, and the authorities respected him very much, you know, because they, you know, he helped them sometimes, you know, take care of things, but he also was very sharp. So there was a story which came to him. There was a court case between a Jew and a non-Jew, and the Jew bribed the judge and was caught. So now there's a court case against the Jew for bribing a judge. So he's asked to help this Jew in court. So he comes to court and he asks, you know, Your Honor, may I speak? He says, yes, please. He said, I want to ask Your Honor a question. Has Your Honor ever purchased fresh fish down by the marketplace? So like, what does it do with anything? He said, just indulge me, please. Yeah, like, yes. He says, so how do you take it home? Because it's like, you know, flapping around, etc. He says, you need to put it in a box. He says, so how they weigh it? They're charging you extra for the box. That's not fair. So that's no problem. He says, you take the scale. Before you put it in, the box is empty. You put the box on one side. You put the weights to balance it out. You know what those weights are. Then you add the fish. Then you weigh it again. You balance it out the second time. And the second set of weights is what you pay for. So sometimes the goal is it's just even the scales. It says, a Jew would never bribe the judge that he should win. But we all know that the court system over here, that any case between a Jew and a non-Jew, the non-Jew always wins. The Jewish are trying to balance the scale. That's what Rabbi Yochai said. Apparently he knew the judge well, and he said it with the right tone of voice. The judge laughed, and that took care of the case. Okay. So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky said that what the Chazal is telling you is that you can never leave the Yetzer Hara. But you want to be a fair fight. In the Beis Medrash, it's a fair fight. You meet him outside, you're going to lose. Right? You stop in the Beis Medrash, you have a chance of winning. So the Beis Medrash is leveling the playing field. That's the goal of that, you know. So, but that's what you mean. We want to create settings where I feel comfortable choosing. Right? The person's extremely angry. So if he can train himself to wait through a few moments before he makes a decision how to react, have a much better chance of reacting properly. So he has to just train himself. I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no, I'm just not deciding yet. I'm controlling myself, I'm not going to decide yet. So the Alter von Kellum had an anger hat. And the deal was, he can't get angry unless he's wearing this hat. And the hat was in the front closet. And every time he wanted to get angry, he would have to walk to the front closet and put on the hat. So by the time he got to the front closet on the head, he had cooled off a little bit, he could make a decision. Should he get angry or not? Right? So he trained himself to you know, that create a circumstance which would allow him to be in control. So that's part of the mitzvah b'charta b'chayim, is to generate that reality. So this is how you, so we have the Ramban that says this applies to many areas. There's a fascinating Chassam Sofer. You know, before we get that, I want to show you a piece from the Marsha. Go back a page. And this is a tshuva for Moshe. It's a tshuva for Moshe. It's a halachic tshuva, okay? And the halachic tshuva, he was asked to give over the clear responsibilities of what a Rebbe has to do as a teacher in a yeshiva, what his responsibilities. Like, so as opposed to being, you know, I'm just teaching a subject. The responsibility of yeshiva is to teach life, and, you know, right and wrong, etc. When I taught I saw this once. Mendel Kaplan, Zatzal, was the first Shabbos Medrash Rebbe in Philadelphia for many years. He was a Talmud. He lived in Europe, and he was a Chasher B'Talmud Chacham. So Mendel, when he used to say Shir, sometimes he would interrupt Shir. He said, "Good morning." He interrupts. He says, "Now for a Mercer commercial." Mercer commercial. So when I was Rebbe in Tells, I said, "You know, it's not a bad idea once in a while to interrupt. And, you know, if you have an opportunity that something, you know, pops in your mind which feels the fit." So he used to say, and now for a word from our sponsor. Brought to you by our sponsor. You know, Kodesh Baruch Hu is our sponsor. I, you know, and I would, you know, say a Mussar word. So that's part of a job of Rebbe. It's not just to teach Gemara, it's to teach over. So in this list of things he says a person has to do, we're blessed with tremendous abundance. Yesh rotzen v'tayva g'doyel l'hanos el ha-mazed. There's a desire to benefit from the pleasures of this world. Good time. Okay, see that? Good time. This is something which is not, it's detrimental to the person. He's training himself to desire things which he has no need for them. Eventually that's going to undermine his control and becomes an animal. He looks for something which is has a heter maruma, which is questionable. But he'll do it to something which is improper to do. But I don't want to be a bad person. So the answer is, but I don't believe in that. It's probably no such mitzvah. The whole thing is overblown. That's not really what the halacha is. It can't be. But his motivation for his philosophy was his desire. The Gemara says that the Klaiso did about Zora. The main motivation is doing about Zora because if you believe in about Zora, Raya's for Mutter. They wanted a Raya, so they did about Zora as a way to do a Raya. And see, the Torah is very upset about, very concerned about this issue. Kedachazina midin ben sarer, he didn't do any avera, but asaribi ataiva the heter, because he's allowing himself to indulge in a tremendous amount of physical pleasure. He wants the Torah mishum ze, the Torah's mechayim mishum ze. Yavi yisal b'soyv liyos listim ritzeach v'gam kerem kolotar. So it's very important that the Rebbe is training the child against that. Mr. Moshe's. So Marsha, you know, sees this as, you know, that this is a very important training that we have to learn to train to control ourselves. It's fascinating, Ramban. It's the back page. So it's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. The pasuk says that Kiyarchiv Hashem is Kulcha, Keshadiv Reloch. So the Bereshim is going to expand Eretz Yisrael. You're now going to move, you know, maybe further, far away from the Beis Hamikdash. And in the Midbar, Klaiso was only allowed to eat meat through the vehicle of a korban. If they wanted to eat meat, they'd have to bring a korban, and then korban shlamim, the Bialim gets the meat afterwards. So they would bring the korban and get the meat. You don't go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to live far away from the Beis Hamikdash. So then the Bereshim was matar, what's called baser taiva, eating meat just for a taiva purpose. So here's the parsha of that. And you say, yeah, I want to eat meats. Because you desire to eat meats. With all your desire, eat the meat. Now, so he says the word three times, basar, and the three. Then, seems to repeat itself. It repeats basar, repeats taiva. So what's shot in the pasuk? So comes to the Chazal and he says the following: V'yesh l'arim the taiva l'adam l'demayr lo says laguf sorchay l'kiyumay l'shem shemayim. You should make sure that you're taking care of your physical needs immediately. Don't push it off. Terem yirav v'sav taiva meruba, before you become famished, and then you'll have a great desire at that point in time. Was yachal taiva, then you're going to eat for taiva purposes. V'yachshel gam neshama chasom b'sechila, then the neshama is not going to be eating for the proper reasons. Now, v'zeh toyis atzas David Melech alav shalom shahabek mishkav b'shalay l'biyot. So we're going to see the Gemara in a second. The Gemara says like this. You know, let's see. Let's hold this and see the Gemara. The page before is the Gemara. So the Gemara is in Hedron. The Gemara comes along and says, top of the page. Amar Yehuda Marab. Lo'elam ayabi adam atzim l'day nisoy. Person should not bring himself in the situation of a challenge, of a nisoy. She'davar ha'melech Melech Yisrael, Hevi Atzvi L'Dei Nisoyin, V'Nichshol. David brought himself to a situation of a challenge, of a Nisoyin, and he failed. He stumbled. How so? Amar L'Fanav of Ribbono Shel Olam, David Melech said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, the master of the world, Mipnei Ma Amrim Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Ein Amrim Elokei David. Why is my name not in the list? So Omer, the Baruch Hashem answered back, Inu minoso li vatlo minsis li. They were tested, you weren't tested. Omer lefon of Rebbeinu Shel Olam, b'chineni minaseni. Test me. Okay, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. Shenemar b'chineni Hashem minaseni. That the David Melech asked Hashem should test him. Omer, the Baruch Hashem said, minis l'cho, I will test you. I'm going to do you a favor that I did not do for the obvious. I'll tell you what the challenge is going to be. They were never told beforehand what the challenge is going to be. But you, I'm going to tell. What am I going to tell you? That the menisna l'cha b'dvar erfu. So I'm going to test you in the area of Arias. This is what Kadosh Baruch Hu told David. Miyad v'hilei eserev v'yakum David Melech mishkavoy. So David Melech has this whole story of Bathsheba, which he's nichshelin. But the Mora says that there was a step before that. Amar Rav Yehuda shavach mishkavo shalayla mishkavo shalyon. David Melech came up with this great idea that if I'm worried about Arias, the answer is he had many wives, is to indulge himself in his wives. And by doing that, he will not have a taiva. He's fulfilled his taiva. He will not be desirous of any other woman. So he won't be challenged. So he was he allowed himself to not only by night and by day, in order to be surveyor from Tashmish. Okay? Great plan. You forgot the concept, which we know, that Eber Katan, Yesh Ba'adam, there's a small organ in the body. Must be a royev, umariva is seveya. But if you indulge it, you try to fill it up, it becomes more and more hungry. And if you don't, you do the opposite, then you're seveya from it. Okay? He was on the roof. He saw a woman who was washing herself on her roof. She was very beautiful. So the more Basheva have a kochai for Resha. So she was washing her hair. She's a married woman, she's washing her hair, but she can't do it publicly. She had some type of like a canopy spread out over her, like it was a large basket spread out. So she's doing it under the basket, so she's fine. Also Satan, the Satan came because that's his job, is to test people. Imelekit Siporta, and appeared to David as if he was a bird. Pasuk Begira. So David shot an arrow to catch the bird. Well, the arrow went exactly where the son wanted to go. Paska l'chalsa, it ripped open the basket. Igalia, he saw her. V'chalsa, he saw her. And then he went and took Bathsheba. So the Gemara says that David had this plan to sort of deal with the desire up front and thereby be protected about it in the future. But the Gemara says it didn't work. So comes the subservient and says, so what about my food? What about the eating? So he says, it would be proper to give yourself the food up front, not to be challenged in the field, down the road. Like David HaMelech wanted to do. He wanted to fulfill his taiva before he would be hit by this major taiva, which would then be challenging to him. El Shatoa, he made a mistake. Every echad yesh b'avim, which must be a roya, but my riva is sova. So the more says, every echad is one aver which has this problem. But the other evorim don't have this problem. Which means, al v'shar b'shar evori ha-taiva, who eats in the chayna. But it comes to eating, or other types of desires, it's not a bad idea. It's a good idea. David Mel's plan works. He forgot that it doesn't work by this aver. Okay, no more count. So now let's shout in the pasuk. You now have this rachmas yadayim, and you have meat available, and you say, now let's eat some meat. Before you have this major taiva driving you towards it. Because if you get to the point of desire, first it's a marta. Let's eat meat. You know, why not? You have some meat, let's eat meat. No major thought process, etc. But if, however, if you reach the point, if you don't eat it right away, but you wait till the point, and then you push it off, and then it's going to become more and more a fixation and a focus, and you get to the point you have a strong timer for it. Then you're going to eat it because of taiva. So the Pasuk says, don't wait to that point. So if it says a situation where a person develops an interest in something, you know, instead of trying to fight it, which many times just doesn't work, in the back and the forth, in the back and forth, the more there's a back and forth, the more the mind is engaged in being interested in it. So the solution for that is, why do you get to the fight to start with? If you can eat it in a controlled situation up front, where you're still in control, you can eat it for, you know, just, you know, why not? There's meat available, let's eat some meat. No major thing out of it. But if you don't do that, it becomes a fixation, until it becomes this, etc. See, he's learning. Now, like the Ramban says, it's Vishara Taivas, also you have this problem. And he's saying that it's even this possible that that's not true. And that's Shatna Mora, the more is D, because Aver Katan Yesh Ba'adam. So I didn't put it into the packet, but there's a fascinating Sefer Akeda, which is one of the Rishonim, which he says Aver Katan is not referring Dafka to the male or the organ of procreation. It means it's referring to the eyes, it's referring to the ears, it's referring to any Aver of the person. Even the small ones, this is what happens. That's how he touches it. So, you know, one of the areas which I think we have a challenge in our society nowadays is in the world of eating. So according to Ramban, you know, the eating thing is really a challenge.
In the Ramban, is it clear that we're talking about, maybe it's only a case where something is negative. I mean, eating is neutral, it depends how you...
Well, it depends.
Because it sounds to me like if it's a negative taiva, it's going to cause you to have a more negative taiva. You can argue that eating is...
Well, Zimas Nashim, that's how this...
Zimas Nashim is a negative.
Well, Bob Dovkin, because even the Morris case was his wife's. David Melech's wife, it wasn't anything which was offered to him.
David's case, yeah.
Right, I'm saying, but that's the example that the Ramban brings. He brings David Melech. He brings that Gemara of Marivo Seveyev Masbios Royev. But the subserver doesn't see it like that. What's interesting is, like, so how do we balance this out with, how are you supposed to eat food? What is supposed to be the hashkafa of how to eat? So there's one hashkafa like the Bali Musa, like, you know, you try and this concept called precious, you know, the person is limits the amount that he eats, or limits the way he eats it, or doesn't do it in a way which is taibidic, etc. In order not to be fallen into the trap of taiba, and you're eating it just because a person's supposed to eat. there's it has a kudras ace oichel, he calls it. That's in pre-tzadik and bracious. He has a kudras. He talks about the concept of achila, and he develops the chassidish approach where there's the achila in a way which is pleasurable can be avodas Hashem. So I explain that with the following story. It's a marshal, but it's a true story. Just these bonus in the story brings out, I think, a very good marshal. So when I was in yeshiva, excuse me if I get choked up for the story. A lot of times I say for the story, I get choked up. So I had a chaver in yeshiva. His name is Gershon Suchi. Gershon came from Sydney, Australia, to Tulsa yeshiva. He was probably 16 years old. And his parents were Holocaust survivors. If I recall correctly, both of his parents had lost a family in the war. You know, they had been married already and lost the family, you know, a spouse and children. After where they met, they had one child. This Gershon. They ended up in Sydney, Australia. I don't know exactly the story there, but they're from Czechoslovakia. The father's from Czechoslovakia. I don't remember which of the mother things, but it was also from Czechoslovakia. They met after the war. They, you know, they ended up in Sydney, Australia. They got to the point where they realized it wasn't really Torah education for their child. So they sent the child away to Tel Zeshiva. They were not well-to-do in any stretch of imagination. They could not afford to bring him home for Yom Tov. So he didn't go home for 4 years. He couldn't afford to call home because this is in the 70s, which of those of you who are old enough to remember, a phone call to Australia was about $6 a minute. So he called home twice a year, before Pesach and before Rosh Hashanah. And the rest of the year, there was letters. Every week he would write a letter home, and he'd mail it, you know, the aerograms, remember the aerograms?
Thin paper,
he'd fold up and make the envelope itself. So he'd send an aerogram, and he would get back an aerogram from his parents. You know, it was like, you know, they would, you know, switch off every single week. After 4 years, he's going home. And you can imagine, you know, I my mind can't absorb this. You know, this is a Holocaust survivor. It's a Jewish mother, Holocaust survivor. There's nothing more precious to her than her only child. It's a son, it's an only child. She sent him away to yeshiva for 4 years. It's like the gevura is mind-boggling. So imagine after 4 years, he's going home, right? So what's a Jewish mother going to do? She's going to make him a suda, which Shlomo Melech would be embarrassed of. Embarrassed Shlomo Melech, you know. Like, suda Shlomo B'Shaita doesn't compare to it. You know, every single thing which he ever wanted in his life, desired and had no from, it was on the table, right? So he sits down to that table. He starts eating the meat, right? And it's his favorite. He hasn't had his home cook, his mother's cooking for 4 years. And he tastes that steak. If you just taste the flavor of the steak, he missed the boat. In that steak, there's 4 years of love and longing and desire for her child. That's what's in that steak. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us an apple. It's all the Kadosh Baruch Hu's love for human beings is in that apple. That's why the apple tastes so good. If you just taste the flavor of the apple, you missed the boat. That's what Rasan writes. So it's also quite a challenge to do that. But it's not that you have to, you know, ignore the flavor. You have to actually savor the flavor. But if you stop at the flavor, you miss the boat. So the problem is many times you stop at the flavor. But the Bali Mutra came along and said, you know, we're not doing that. So at the end of the day, you just get focused in the taiva element, and then it leads you into who knows where. So what can we do? So I think there's two things we can do. So one of them is a Sipurna. Go back a few pages. There's a piece of Sipurna over here in Beshalach. Okay. I really should put numbers on the pages. So the Sipurna said like this. So the Baruch Hashem is sending food for Klal Yisrael, and so they come and they complain that they don't have any. There's no food anymore. There's no bread. And the Baruch Hashem sends them slav and mon. They come to Moshe and say, "Why do you take us out of Mitzrayim?" The Baruch Hashem says back to them that you should know that Hashem took you out of Arab. You'll know that Hashem took out of Mitzrayim. So, why is that the fact that Russia will provide the food that you know that he took out of Mitzrayim? Like, what's the connection? So, Zok the Superno, the Moshe Rabbeinu said the following: Yehi Rotzon Shemash Amrli Shitan Lecham Mozen. The Russian said he's going to bring food for Klal Yisrael. I'm hoping that Russian will do it. You'll get your food in the evening. For the evening, this will be the final completion of your exit from Mitzrayim. Why? This will take you out of the lifestyle that you lived in Mitzrayim. So the passage says you were sitting in Mitzrayim. And with meat very available, but this man suda kavua, with no set time for eating. Kibahem is like the animals. Animals graze. Human beings should have set times for achila. In Mitzrayim they grazed. Kaomrim bitzkila ha yisol doimim ketana garlam shemenakim ba'ashba. The Medrash says the klaisa was comparable to the chickens which are pecking all over the ashba looking for things, which is constant. Moshe came along and said, no, you should only eat at certain times in the day. He says, so the final completion of the Yetziah from Mitzrayim is when you stop grazing. So the first issue which we have is that we graze too much. Right? No. We have food available constantly. So you're constantly snacking. Right? He says, so I'm not saying don't indulge. Even if you say don't indulge yourself, just don't graze. Right? Eat your meal, enjoy your meal, have a good time with your meal. You have 3 meals a day, you have 3 meals a day, but you eat breakfast, and then you eat lunch, then you eat supper. If you tell me that it's more healthy, some say it's more healthy to eat smaller amounts. So good. So be kaveya. You know, the times you're going to do it, and how much you're going to eat. And write to your young, right? It's not like you can have a good, I'm not saying you can't have a good time. Enjoy your food. Just, it should be with limits, when. So the Sperna sees that the process of grazing is a process of acting like a behemoth. It's fascinating, it's important.
Because then you control it, then you have a meal.
Right.
When you're grazing, then food controls you. You don't even notice it.
Right. Right. So next thing you know, wow.
Now,
I hit me this one time. I was up late learning. Sometimes when I'm up late learning, I get very tired, but I need to work on something. So if you munch, it keeps you awake. So I was munching Cheerios, and I got to the point that I had a bench. Because you eat too many Cheerios, it's possible for kids, you have to bench afterwards. I think you have to bench. that's one issue. The other issue which I have to, even if we go with the Mahalach of Reb Tzadok and say that we're not going to say that I should eat food which is, tasteless, and etc. I'm going to eat food, I'm going to enjoy the flavor of the food, etc. But the fact that food is a topic undermines everything. All right, that the chiddush of the point that's been is that if you're since these things are available, I'm right up after them. So what's the latest food which is available? Like, what's the latest type of dish we can get? The latest type of wine. Like last year, we were very happy with the $5 bottle of wine. Now we need the $15 bottle of wine. Because it tastes better. Did you try out this restaurant? Did you try out that restaurant? Why are we trying out restaurants? Somebody says, I heard you visited, Omaha. Yeah, there's a great Gushmaka restaurant there. Like, that's the excitement of the city. They had a Gushmaka restaurant there.
What else
is there to do? I understand. Right. So, the person, he went to New York. He went to New York. So you visited this Beis Medrash, and you visited the shul, you visited this Talmud Chacham, No, I went to Dougie's, the excitement. I went to Dougie's, what was it called? Schmelke
Shmuel Bernstein.
Shmuel Bernstein.
So, I went to. Somebody told me he went to visit. You know, I asked somebody like, you know, they went to vacation. They went to Italy. He says yes. We went to Venice, and there's a very nice restaurant there. That's the first thing he tells me. All you can say about Venice is a very nice restaurant there. I mean, I'm talking about Yiddish issues. Like, you know, Venice is this gorgeous city with, you know, gondolas and waterways. You know, beautiful old. First thing he tells me is there's a nice restaurant there. Like, you know, what are we doing? Food is a topic by us. Food is a heck of a tip that a person needs to have. Yes, when your wife serves you food, you say, you know, it tasted very good. It did taste very good. You appreciate it very much, and you say thank you. And you elaborate. It was a very tasty meal. Thank you so much for making a tasty meal. Beautiful, fine. And I'm looking forward to that you should do it again. And last time you did it like this, like whoa. You're like, where did that come from? You know, it's like, you know, we're right of it. It's become something we're right of after. So that's the problem.
It was the main avodah in the temple.
Main avodah in the temple. The middle of the temple. I would put it like this, right? You know, we have to understand that, you know, we don't understand the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash was quite a unique. Our picture of tefillah was this very, very serene, pure, detached type of process. Basically, it was very physical. They put the things on the mizbeach, etc. They burn it. They would eat it, etc. Yes, that's true. But if you look at the Ramchal, when he talks about the kavanas that the Kahanim had when they were doing the Chila, the yichud of the different chambers of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you realize that it looked very similar to what we're doing, but it had no shaykhus to what we're doing.
That's the problem. We don't have the kavanot. We just have the eating.
We just have the eating. Yeah, you know, we're just left with the eating part of it. You know, yes, the final chiddush of this world is that a human being is a combination of physical and spiritual, and you can do an act which could be physical and spiritual. Right? So you can have a Chila. Like the Shulchan says, he goes along his sulam of Aliyah, and he has a meet of precious, and he finally gets to the final one is kedusha. He says, when you get to the Madrega of kedusha, so when they would bring the matana of to the Navi Elisha, and he ate it, it's like being makar of a korban, because Elisha's achila was equivalent of a korban. It was kedusha. Yes, a human being can be kaddish. You can have a achila which is a combination of physical and spiritual. But we're not there. So what can we do to at least define our achila in a way which is, without taking away the pleasure element, because we're not ready to do that. I don't think that's something ritualistic. But to do it in a way where the person's coming along and saying, you know, I'm giving myself, you know, two fairly, you know, it's, they sound not difficult, but they're extremely difficult. I'm not going to graze, okay? I'm not going to graze. You know, it's like, I'm not going to eat chocolate cake. You know, next thing you know, I'm eating chocolate cake. Right, and it wasn't my fault. I could control myself like that. You know, you go to all the Weight Watcher meetings. You know, like, you know, it's like the part of the conversation is, you know, oi, bay, the chocolate cake. You know,
there's two ways to go about it. You can look at the negative aspect of it. Don't graze, don't do this, don't do that. Or you can say, eat the right way, and that starts. Like on Shabbos, right? So maybe that's the.
I think Rasulik's point is that Rasulik's point. I think you're saying is a good point. Rasulik's point is that there's a way you could eat, which is extremely. It's not so difficult. Just add a moment. I think this is what the bracha does for you. That this is Kadosh Baruch Hu's gift and blessing that He's giving to you. Enjoy it, but feel the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu at that moment.
Yeah, but you're not really supposed to enjoy food on a weekday. You're supposed to eat so you have strength. On Shabbos, you're supposed to enjoy.
So he does. That's
for holy people like
you. No. Look, it's if you think about every time you eat, then if you think about it.
If you could do it, right? But the point I'm saying is, if we set it up in ways which we have, the more you're eating with when you're in control, it's a decision to eat. So then you can decide how to eat. You can decide to eat the amount that you need for the right purposes, understand the bounty, understand the blessing. And a lot we could do with achila if there's thought.
As long as your mind is on top of it.
Right, as long as your mind is on top of it.
Taiva is when you do what you don't really want to do.
Right,
you're going to eat this meat.
The kurva here is the self-control. Taiva is a place where we constantly interface with self-control. Right. And I think that the more we make achila a topic,
just al tachila, the more we're undermining our thought process, the more we're undermining that, you know, we're making that the goal is food, and my mind is there to as a hekdim to create food. Right? I can sit there and figure out how I'm going to get the next latest, most exciting, you know, latest dish. Like, you know, I remember, like, how many years ago it came out, there was a cookbook that came out, Death by Chocolate.
Oh, I remember that one.
I remember looking at, like, are you out of your mind? Like Death by Chocolate? Like, what you're saying is, you know, that chocolate is so geschmack to you, and so exciting to you, and so important to you, that, you know, you would love to die just eating chocolate. Right? That's, you know, and they have these decadent cakes, which are, like, you know, 17 layers of, like, you know, like, there's 4,000 calories in each bite. You know, I mean, like, you know, that's the point. You know, shkayach, you know. And that's our society. Like, I want, there was a question of a person told me, like, you know, in the world of care before, what they grappled with before the war in Europe, nobody had, there was philosophical debates. There was, you know, there were grappled with ideologies. Is it communism? Is it socialism? Is it Zionism? Is it Judaism? You know, and it says America. There's no ideological debates over here. The issue is very simple. Taifu. You know, taifu is achil and taifu is noshim. That's the challenge of our society. This is Mitzrayim. We are back in Mitzrayim. America is like, you know, we're back to Mitzrayim. The Torah describes Mitzrayim. It was, you know, it was a very, very physical society with tremendous issues of Arias, etc. So we're back to Mitzrayim. So this is, but the Rizal says that the Richus of Golas comes because of the hate of indulging Tivers improperly, specifically Tivers Noshim. And Mashiach will come, and we create a tikkun for that. So the generation before Mashiach is going to come. The nature of the way you get create a tikkun is by being challenged in something and overcoming it. So our society has to be a challenging society in that area, because we have to overcome it. We have to learn how to deal with that in a healthy way. And again, the healthy way doesn't necessarily mean that a person isn't enjoying it. Right? The Chassam's point isn't that, you know, the Chassam's point is, you say, I'm eating supper. So good, eat supper, but don't make it a whole, you know, we're going to be giving ave for supper. We're going to make it a whole discussion about supper. Like, what are we going to have for supper? How are we going to have supper? What's good? I'm having supper. You know, what's for supper? I ate it. I enjoyed it. I said thank you. I appreciated it. You know, but like the conversation about it, I think, is the issue. The mind space that it absorbs, I think, is where the issue is. And we do that properly, so it's a tremendous process of, like the Chinuch says, then you're not being right for the Arab, you're controlling. And the more you control, the more you're able to control. In other areas, let's end with one story. Like, you know, the Musaq, you know, there's this Musaq, because I'll talk about that a person is Boilin P. B'Shas Mariva. He keeps his mouth shut in the time of a fight. So, the Russian, you know, says that he's like the Zara Rakim Asirim. You know, there's a tremendous power to them. So there's this concept, I don't know who tied it together, that's a moment of powerful bracha. So, Rabbi Krohn has his story about, you know, that a person had been insulted tremendously by another person, you know, to the point where, like, you know, any normal human being would just, like, respond back, etc. And while she's about to respond, the person comes over and says, you know, I've been married for X amount of years, I don't have any children. Please control yourself. And exclusive of that, control yourself. Give me a bracha that I should be able to have children. It brings a story that she had children after many, many years. So, the process of learning self-control doesn't start at that moment. It's because Jews and Betzim, we've been trained to have self-control. We get up in the morning, you can't eat, you have a daven. You can't, you know, you have, there's a procedure you have to follow. There's rules you have to follow. Shabbos is fine. You have to make Kiddush first, right? Yom Kippur, you don't eat, you don't drink. We are trained in areas of self control, but the ones which are very clearly delineated, we're pretty good at. The ones which are nebulous is we get confused at. But we need that. We need that not only for these areas, we need that for all areas of life. So I had a story, that I was visiting a certain yeshiva, and a young man was talking to me. He says, he told me over a story. He says, you know, that how a bacher controlled himself. And I ran over to the bacher, and I asked him for a bracha. What happened? So bacher A is he's very popular bacher. He's a very good-natured person. He's very helpful. He has other people. He's intelligent. He's very good in shearing. And, you know, people respect him. And he also helps other people. And he's a good voice. He's good at sports. You know, he has everything going for him. So Bacher B doesn't. So he's very jealous of Bacher A. And he has the Bacher B has an anger issue. So one day, for whatever reason, unprovoked, you know, they're in the dining room together. And Bacher B takes that day's lunch, which was like a vegetable stew, and throws it at Bacher A in front of the whole dining room. Face, shirt, jacket, mess, you know, vegetables, liquids, you know. And Bacher A looks at him and walks away. The young man says, I ran after him and I said, give me a bracha. Like to see that you have that ability to have control under that, you know, situation. The guy doesn't even, he was made a fool out of him in the front of the whole dining room and he just walked away. So, you know, I don't know the Bacher, you know, his peers, you know, probably some respected, some didn't respect it, but the older person looked at says, you know, that's a tremendous accomplishment. So that person has generated a tremendous kind of control of himself. That's a source of bracha. He should share some of that bracha with me. So I asked him for a bracha. So this idea of control, the more we train ourselves to, the Bali Musa worked on this, and even something that's only mutter, it's okay, but the more we train ourselves to be in control, the more we'll have the control when we need it and the real challenges which are going to come along. You know, that was Elimelech's plan. You know, I'll have control the time I need it. His approach didn't work. The approach that works is the more you learn to control, then you'll be in control when the time comes.